Good afternoon, 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
Thousands of retired coal miners and their families will not lose their health care benefits.
Senator Mitch McConnell says the stopgap funding bill Congress approved over the weekend protects the health care benefits of retired Kentucky coal miners. Three people are indicted in the death of an infant in Fleming County. And the city swimming pool in Mount Sterling will be closed this summer for safety reasons. In sports, UK's Commonwealth Stadium gets a new name. Bud Luke has the stocks. Partly cloudy this evening, low of 51. We'll have a full check of the forecast after this news. Three people have been indicted by a Fleming County grand jury in connection with the death of a one-month-old baby nearly a year ago. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the indictments were returned against 35-year-old Stephen Butcher and 26-year-old Ashley Moore, the parents of the infant, and 59-year-old Sharon Mead. She was the victim's grandmother. Prosecutors allege the parents took medications that left them confused and disoriented and then shared a bed with the baby. They say Elijah Moore Butcher died as a result. The grandmother was indicted for facilitation of wanton endangerment. Sharon Mead is said to have been given temporary custody of the infant and was reportedly under orders from family services not to leave the baby unattended with the parents. WSAZ is reporting that a 40-year-old Ashland man has been sentenced to 25 years in prison after pleading guilty but mentally ill in the shooting of a Westwood resident. According to the Huntington Station, Carlton Gallman was sentenced in Greenup Circuit Court in the April 2013 death of 29-year-old Christopher Fraser. Gallman also admitted to charges of tampering with evidence and receiving stolen property. Ohio Governor John Kasich has delayed 9 executions as a court fight continues over the constitutionality of the state's lethal injection process. The Republican governor's announcement today postpones an execution scheduled for next month until July. It also pushes 8 other procedures back by several months. Kasich says the timing of arguments before a Cincinnati federal appeals court necessitated the delay. The court is hearing Ohio's appeal of a judge's order finding the state's latest execution process unconstitutional. A 30-year-old man is held in the Lewis County Detention Center following his arrest on charges of cultivating marijuana. The Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police arrested Nicholas Butler Friday evening after receiving a tip about alleged drug activity on Old Trace Creek Road. Troopers claim they found 35 marijuana plants and 42 trays of marijuana seedlings on the property. In addition to cultivation of the drug, Butler is also charged with illegal possession of legend drugs. An Ashland man has been placed on intensive supervised probation for 4 years and was ordered to complete a drug diversion program after pleading guilty to trafficking in methamphetamine in Lawrence County, Ohio. According to the Ironton Tribune, 48-year-old Michael Baldridge also admitted to possession of heroin and possession of criminal tools. In addition to probation and mandatory participation in the Riverside Recovery Addiction Treatment Center's rehab program, Baldridge was also ordered to perform 200 hours of community service. He appeared in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. Ironton's mayor has called a town hall meeting for next week to address the region's drug problems. According to the Ironton Tribune, Katrina Keith will hold the forum Monday, May 8th in the Ironton High School Auditorium. It'll take place between 6 and 7:30 p.m. Keith says Ron James of the Christ Temple Church will speak, and local recovery programs have been invited to meet with people and hand out literature. She says the purpose of the meeting is to start a conversation about rethinking drug addiction. Ashland City Commissioner Marty Goot would like to see a new city manager hired by Memorial Day. Goot says Friday is the cutoff for new applications for the post, and commissioners continue to use the Kentucky League of Cities to help screen candidates.
I think we have two new applicants, I think, that have city manager experience, and so we're going to look at those. You know, just like the KLC, they had a tremendous process that they went through, talking about their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses, leadership skills and experience, and so we're thankful for them, and they'll go through the same process.
Ashland has not had a permanent city manager since Ben Bitter resigned in February 2016. The head of the traditionalist White Workers' Party told a boisterous crowd in Pikeville Saturday that the group is giving voice to working people who've been exploited by a capitalist system for decades. Matthew Heimbach's party is labeled as a white supremacist group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, but Heimbach says it is only seeking social justice.
Our capitalist economy exploits our fathers, our brothers, those that are downtrodden. We cannot allow this inhumane capitalist society to stand. But we reject the anarchists. We reject the communists because we believe in a society that is fair and just.
At least three arrests were made Saturday as demonstrators clashed with TWWP members and neo-Nazis who were supporting the Workers' Party. An Ashland City Commissioner who also serves as Vice President of Operations for the Ashland Alliance says Brady Industries would not have chosen South Shore as the site for its new aluminum plant had Kentucky not become a right-to-work state. Amanda Clark says that was important to the company before it would commit to a $1 billion investment in Northeast Kentucky.
Had right to work not been in place, we wouldn't have been on the list. We had those attributes. We had the things that the company needed, but right to work was what put this project over the edge for the company to be comfortable enough to say that's where they wanted to locate.
Kentucky's new right-to-work law permits individual workers in a union shop not to have union dues deducted from their paychecks. The Ashland Alliance is an organization that promotes business development in Boyd and Greenup counties. Governor Matt Bevin is predicting Kentucky's right-to-work law will result in more union jobs in the Commonwealth over the next decade. The Republican says he'd bet on it.
You know why? When the boats rise and the economy grows and demand is there for building and for materials and for jobs, there's going to be plenty of jobs for union workers and non-union workers. Some people will only come here because they have the choice in their company of not having forced union dues paid as a condition of employment. For some people, that's a deal breaker. That was the case for Brady Industries. They're not alone. There's many other companies, some of whom I'm already talking to.
The governor says Indiana's right-to-work law has been on the books since 2012, and the Hoosier State now has 50,000 more union jobs than it did then. Senator Mitch McConnell says the stopgap spending bill approved by Congress over the weekend protects and extends the health care benefits of retired miners. The Kentucky Republican says that's been a priority of his for quite some time.
Last year, I fought for a long-term extension of health benefits, and earlier this year I introduced my own bill to provide a permanent fix for miners' health care. I'll continue to fight on their behalf to secure a permanent solution on this issue in the larger funding bill.
McConnell says the bill funds the government through May 5th and gives lawmakers a few more days to hammer out an agreement that keeps the government running through September 30th. Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes says the Commonwealth's exports to China reached nearly $2 billion in 2016, but she contends they have a lot of potential to grow even more. Lundergan Grimes visited China in 2015 to encourage more of the Asian country's businesses to invest in Kentucky and vice versa. She held a symposium last week in northern Kentucky on the trade relationship between the two governments. Afterward, The secretary spoke to Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
While we can't change history, the past, we've got to work to build a better future. And my trip, which was a trade mission, was based in not only exploring the rich history and culture of China, but making sure that we are opening the way for new and existing Kentucky businesses to be a part of the fabric of China, for them to globally have an impact.
Lundergan Grimes says one Chinese company is already making an impact in Kentucky. She says Burtley Industrial Equipment Corporation is investing about $10 million in its Lexington operation and hiring about 50 persons. Kentucky's junior senator says he'd like to see China use its influence to tone down North Korea's warlike rhetoric. Republican Rand Paul thinks the Chinese could promote peace in the region by persuading North Korea to do less saber-rattling and more trade negotiations. Paul says he'd support trade between the U.S. and North Korea.
They've got to be open to, you know, engagement and dialogue. But nobody wants war with North Korea, and that should be the message. But North Korea should also know that they can't act in an irrational manner with nuclear weapons. That's a danger to their neighbors and to the whole world.
Paul made his comments at a press conference in Louisville Friday. The sexual trauma coordinator at the Lexington VA Medical Center says many sexual assaults in the military are not reported or are reported late. Dr. Patricia Peacock discussed the issue Sunday on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw. She says there's a simple explanation for that.
While they're on active duty, they're afraid of repercussions. I think a lot of times the people who are the perpetrators are people they serve with. And it's confusing and it's a betrayal and they have to be working with them day in and day out. And it's just a very uncomfortable and unpleasant situation.
Dr. Peacock says she counsels soldiers who come in to see her that reporting sexual assault is probably the bravest thing they'll ever do in the military. And if they're able to do that, they can handle anything else. Peacock says more than 6,000 sexual assaults in the armed forces were reported to the Pentagon in 2015, the most recent year for which figures are available. A Dover woman has been killed in a single vehicle crash in Mason County. According to a press release from the Mason County Sheriff's Department, 32-year-old Amy Zumo died when her pickup truck veered off Kentucky 8 Saturday and struck a tree. Mason deputies say Zumo was treated at the scene by Mason County Life Squad and then airlifted to the UK Medical Center. She was pronounced dead at the hospital by the Fayette County coroner. A Garrison man has been charged with DUI, criminal mischief, driving on a suspended license, and having an open container after his car smashed into a garage early this morning. According to the Lewis County Herald, Darrell Fraley lost control of his vehicle on Church Street in Garrison. Lewis deputies say Fraley and a passenger both escaped injury. He is incarcerated in the Lewis County Detention Center. And Mount Sterling's city pool will be closed this summer because it has been deemed unsafe by a contractor who was hired to inspect the facility. That's according to a story in the Mount Sterling Advocate. The newspaper reports that the 40-year-old pool was inspected April 18th, and it was determined that it's in a state of disrepair and could collapse. Parks and Recreation Commission Chairman David Charles says he understands the public will be disappointed, but safety has to be the top concern. He says a cost estimate for repairing the pool or building a new one will be made in the coming weeks. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Magoffin, Carter, and Rowan. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 51. Tuesday, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 71. Tuesday night, it'll be clear, with a low of 46. Wednesday, sunshine early, then becoming cloudy later in the day, high of 64. Wednesday night, showers early, becoming in a steady rain late, low near 50 degrees. The chance of rain is 80%. Thursday, rain likely. Thunder is possible with a high of 62, and the chance of rain is 80%. Thursday night, rain, low 46, and a 100% chance of rain. And then on Friday, rain again with a high of 54. Chance of rain Friday is 80%. Around the region, it is 78 degrees in Ashland, 70 in Flemingsburg, 77 in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 69 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 74 degrees. It is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is great to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a documentary produced by Morehead State University media instructor Stephen Middleton will be airing soon on KET. MSPR's Victoria Agee has the story.
The documentary premiered last Wednesday for over 100 people at Coffee Tree Books in Morehead. The story centered on the famous Indian Head Rock, which until 2007 rested in the Ohio River.
Between South Shore or South Portsmouth, Kentucky, and Portsmouth, Ohio, that had been documented since some of the earliest forms of media, and of course it goes much further back than that with Native American cultures and travelers, that folks in the modern era would swim over to or boat over to and chisel their name onto the rock. And at some point in history, someone carved a circular face, and that's sort of where it started getting the name the Indian Head Rock.
The boulder disappeared in the early 20th century after the lock and dam system caused water levels of the Ohio to rise. It wasn't seen again for 87 years when historian Steve Schaefer and his team found it after a three-year search. Then, in an attempt to preserve the rock so he could put it on display, Schaefer removed it from the river and transported it to the city of Portsmouth in 2007. His action sparked a massive controversy and an ensuing legal battle between Kentucky and Ohio. Unbeknownst to Schaefer and his team, the University of Kentucky had declared the site of Indian Head Rock an antiquity in 1986, and in turn sued both Schaefer and the state of Ohio for ownership rights. The battle over the famous boulder almost reached the U.S. Supreme Court. It cost the Commonwealth nearly $20,000 in legal fees to get Indian Rock returned to the Bluegrass State. Schaefer had spent $10,000 on locating and retrieving it. The ordeal soon made national news.
The trial was late-night comedy fodder, two states battling over a rock. And, of course, there was a lot of interesting folks on the Kentucky side, a lot of interesting folks on the Ohio side, making great headlines for journalists and television shows. And this even made CBS Sunday Morning with Steve Hartman at one point.
The rock got its name because of the smiling face carved into its side. No one knows how the face got there, but Middleton says it has been a topic of debate for years.
People assumed it was Native American at one point. You know, some of the earliest documentation called it the Indian head. More than likely, it's circular in design. Several archaeologists said, well, probably not Native American etchings, but still an interesting artifact that had been in the region for millennia.
When discussing the process of making the documentary, Middleton says that finding something to talk about in Kentucky that doesn't revolve around tobacco or poverty is challenging.
I made a couple films called Commonwealth Curiosities about interesting, odd places in Kentucky, and I kind of found a niche with those. You know, a lot of films in Kentucky generally are around the environment or coal or the ups and downs of poverty in bourbon Kentucky basketball. So trying to make documentaries in Kentucky and not talking about one of those topics is very difficult, and I found this niche of just kind of focusing on some strange and obscure things, and people seem to like it, and I'm glad.
The documentary is set to air on KET, though no release date has been given. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
4:49, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games.
On display through May 13th, the exhibition features 4 dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Moorhead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Moorhead State University.
A new name for the Kentucky Gridiron. Good afternoon. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. The University of Kentucky's Commonwealth Stadium is getting a new name after reaching a 12-year, $1.85 million agreement between the company Kroger and university marketing partner JMI Sports. Coach Mark Stoops and his Wildcats will welcome Kroger Field as the name of their new home field. A press conference for the announcement was held earlier this afternoon. UK Athletics Director Mitch Barnhart says a 15-year, $210 million deal with JMI back in 2014 was the kickstart for this moment today.
As part of the agreement, we were awarded naming rights to our athletics facilities, as well as expanded opportunities to market campus multimedia rights. That agreement is what paved the way for this partnership between the University of Kentucky, JMI Sports, and Kroger. We're proud to announce this partnership with a company deeply rooted in our state that shares our values and commitment to making the state the best it can possibly be.
Barnhart also said the playing field name will be changed to CM Newton Grounds in honor of the former athletics director in the year 2000. The Cincinnati Bengals ended the 2017 NFL Draft with 11 total picks, including wide receiver John Ross from Washington, who since he took 9th overall. But the Bengals had one of the most controversial picks of the draft as well, taking running back Joe Mixon in the 2nd round. Mixon was suspended for the entire season during his time at Oklahoma University for punching a female student, knocking her out and breaking multiple bones in her face. Head coach Marvin Lewis says the organization still feels good about the pick.
Based on all the time, all the research, we felt that we can continue to move forward. Joe, his situation kind of came to a settlement in all ways this week, which was also led us to feel better about the opportunity here and to move forward.
Mixon was a projected top 20 pick before the video of him punching the female was released in 2016. Taking a look at a few more notes in the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts have released long snapper Matt Overton and safety Duke Williams while putting 8 other players on waivers. The San Francisco 49ers have exercised the 5th-year option on defensive back Jimmy Ward for the 2018 season, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have released backup quarterback Zach Mettenberger. The Cincinnati Reds are back at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to start a 4-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. After picking up a 5-4 win at St. Louis yesterday, the Reds moved their record to 11-13 on the year. Left fielder Adam Duvall broke out of his recent slump, going 4-for-5 from the plate with 3 doubles and an RBI. 2-2, Amar Garrett will take the mound for the Reds. 1-3, Garrett Cole will go for the Pirates. After going 1-3 over the weekend against Eastern Illinois, the Moorhead State baseball team will take a break from conference action and will welcome Ohio University tomorrow at Allen Field. Despite already having 1 victory over the Bobcats this season, Coach Mike McGuire knows OU could still be a challenge for his Eagles.
You know, they're a solid club. They run pretty good pitching out. It's going to be important for us to have good at-bats and, you know, utilize make them go to their bullpen, just like us. They had a taxing series this weekend and probably used a bunch of guys, and so we want to make them use somebody maybe they don't want to use.
MSU is 28-16 on the year and 13-7 in OVC play. Game time is set for 5 p.m. The Moorhead State basketball program picked up another commitment over the weekend. 6'6 forward Malik Green from Taft High School in Cincinnati verbally committed to the Eagles. Green averaged 22 points and 14 rebounds per game last season for Taft. Round 2 of the NBA playoffs continue tonight, first at 7. The Cleveland Cavaliers play host to the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of their series. Cavs forward LeBron James says his team is in for a long, challenging series.
Any team is dangerous when you're able to win a playoff series. It gains more confidence. You start to get a feel for, you know, who you want to truly be. And, you know, and also, the Raptors, we played them last year. So, you know, they know us, we know them. So, you know, I think any team that's able to advance to the next round is dangerous, no matter our opponent or any other series that's going on in the postseason.
The Rockets and Spurs also get their series underway with Game 1 in San Antonio tonight at 9:30. And finally, for today in sports, one horse for Saturday's Kentucky Derby may have a home field advantage. Paul Miles has more.
McCracken gets one final workout before the Kentucky Derby. The Bay Colt began his career 4-0, including three wins at Churchill Downs. Then came a hiccup. Jockey Brian Hernandez and McCracken finished third in the Bluegrass Stakes.
It was a race where he faced a little adversity, and it toughened him up. You know, it put him in the spots that he had never faced before.
McCracken is trained by Ian Wilkes. I'm Paul Miles.
That's a look at sports. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball hosts Ohio tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. and Murray State for three games, May 12th through the 14th. There's more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly higher in choppy trading, shaking off comments from President Trump about breaking up the big banks. And the Dow Industrials actually did finish with a loss of 27.05 at 20,913.46. The broader market was higher, with the S&P 500 up 4.13 at 2388.33. And the NASDAQ Composite setting a new all-time closing record, finishing up 44 at 6,091.6. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-3 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And your NASDAQ technology bellwethers, again, were the story. Amazon, following up very good earnings from last week, finished with a gain of 2.5% to close at an all-time high. Facebook was up 1.5% to close at an all-time high, and Facebook reports earnings tomorrow. And Apple was up 2%, also finishing at an all-time high, and they as well report earnings later this week. Google finished just shy, or I should say Alphabet, which is Google's parent, was just shy of an all-time closing high as it finished up just under 1%. Despite President Trump's comments about potentially breaking up the big banks, for the most part, the big banks were in pretty good shape today. Citigroup finished with a gain of about 0.625%, and J.P. Morgan finished with a gain of about 0.1%. And, of course, many analysts will be watching very closely for further comments on the banking sector, as, of course, the banking sector has been among your very best performers since the election. In economic news, the ISM Manufacturing Index slipped to 54.8 in April from 57.2 and came in below consensus. Also, construction spending in March fell from a record high. The Commerce Department said consumer spending remained flat in March, while consumer income rose less than expected. And several key economic data will be released later in the week, including monthly U.S. jobs. And the Federal Reserve's policy-making committee is slated to meet this week, but they are largely expected to hold rates steady. And in particular, with the economic news coming in weaker than expected as of late, that would be all the more reason for the Fed to hold rates steady. Earnings season continues in earnest this week with, again, Apple and Facebook reporting, and also Tesla and BP will report later on in the week. And thus far, the earnings season has been strong, with more than 75% of companies beating profit estimates and about 70% topping sales forecasts as of Friday morning. This according to data from the Earnings Scout. Among Dow stocks today, your best performers were Apple and Microsoft, and your worst performers were Boeing and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were GGP and Masarish, and the worst performers were Affiliated Managers Group and Newell Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.03 at $122.47, CSX up 68 cents at $51.52, AEP down 34 cents at $67.49, AK Steel down 10 cents at $6.24, Marathon Petroleum down 6 cents at $50.88, and Community Trust Bank was up 30 cents to finish at $45.25. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 51, sunshine, and a mix of clouds tomorrow with a high of 71. It's 74 in Moorhead. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Nathan Gutierrez, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.